हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् श्रीपरमात्मने नमः वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः ओके When Shankara Bhagavatpada concluded his Bhashyam, Upodghata Bhashyam, then he concluded, Upodghata Bhashyam, he explained the purpose of writing the commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, stating without the knowledge, there's no way of With the knowledge of the truth, there is no way of discovering, attaining mokshaha. Why? Because mokshaha implying happiness. Mokshaha meaning freedom, implying happiness, happens to be the very swarupam of the reality, obtaining as one's own self. It can never be attained. It has to be discovered. It has to be known. So knowing the reality, obtaining as one's own self, is the only means of discovering happiness, fullness, mokshaha, being one's own surupam, one's own self. Only by discovering one's own nature, one can take ownership of moksha as one's own nature. As long as we remain ignorant of one's own self, one's own essential nature, even though one's nature is happiness, still one cannot own, one cannot take ownership of, one cannot claim happiness as one's own nature. So knowing alone can enable to take ownership of happiness as one's own nature. It is ignorance which distances one from enjoying one's own nature of fullness of happiness. Ajnanam samsarasya karanam. Therefore, Ajnana nivrittihi is samsara nivrittihi. Samsara nivrittihi is moksha praptihi, which is kaivalya praptihi. Therefore, he said, it is important to have jnana nishtha, ascertain vision of one's own self, which presupposes the pursuit of jnanam to exclusion of everything else. When Shankara Bhagavatpada stated this and Purapakshi came with his objection. Moksha kaivalyam cannot be attained only through jnanam. Knowledge alone is not enough for moksha. Of course, knowledge is important for moksha. Without knowledge, moksha is not possible. Without jnanam, moksha is not at all possible. But jnanam alone is not enough for moksha. Jnanam, moksha cannot be attained only as a result of jnanam. It must be attained along with the performance of other nityanaimittika karmas. And this performance of karma must be until one's last breath. Yavat jivam tavat juhyat. Agnihotram juhyat. When performed is agnihotram until one's last breath. It's not mentioned here, I'm just saying. That is the argument of Dvaita Advaitavadi. And this Dvaita Advaitavadi, Dvaita Advaitavadinaha, or Bheda Bheda Vadinaha, accepting the entire Bhagavad Gita, entire Veda Shastram as the Pramanam. So anything and everything that is said in the Shastram is real. So Dvaitam is accepted in the Karma Kanda, Karma Upasana Kandas. Dvaitam is real. Advaitam also is real. Difference is real. Jiva Isha Abhedaha, non-difference also is real. So they are known as Bheda Bheda Vadinaha, Dvaita Advaita Vadinaha. Otherwise they are said to be Ekadesha Vedantinaha, Ekadeshinaha Vedantinaha. If the question is raised, how is it possible for both Dvaitam and Advaitam to be real? How is it possible for both difference and non-difference to be real? How is it possible for both of them to be real? The question is raised. And for this question, this Bheda Bheda Vadinaha, Dvaita Dvaita Vadinaha, always known as Ekadeshinaha Vedantinaha, have an answer for this question. What's the answer? Veda says, therefore, Veda Vakyam is Satya Vakyam. Veda, whatever Veda says is real. Veda cannot say anything wrong, anything incorrect, improper, because there's no ignorance. Veda, all that Veda states is jnanam only. Therefore, there cannot be anything false or anything unreal there, or anything mithya there. Everything is real. One reason they say, because Veda says, therefore, it real. And the second factor they say is, from the standpoint of an individual, Dvaitam is real. From the standpoint of an individual, Bhedaha is real. From the standpoint of total macrocosm, macro universe, Advaitam is real, Abhedaha is real. This is their answer. So, Vyashti Drishtya, from the standpoint of an individual, Vyashtihi, duality is real, difference also is real, Bhedaha is real, Dvaitam is real. Samishti Drishtya, from the standpoint of the macro universe, the standpoint of total, Advaitam is real, Abhedaha is real. Therefore, there's nothing unreal at all. There's nothing mithya also. It's only real. Everything is real. Okay. Now, first, we have to understand. Shankaracharya says, in fact, வேத சாஸ்திரம் இஸ் அ பிரமாணம். பிரமாணம் மீன்ஸ் அ வேலிட் மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ். பிரமீயத்தே அனேன இத்தி பிரமாணம். தி சட்டில் ஃபேக்ட்ஸ் ஆர் அண்டர்ஸ்டுட், நோன், அரைவ்ட் த்ரூ திஸ். ஸோ வேலிட் மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ் பிரமாணம், பிரமாண கிரந்தம். And what is a pramanam? A pramanam can be considered as a pramanam, validated as a pramanam, valued as a pramanam, as a means of knowledge, only if it helps us understand what cannot be known through any other pramanam. Pramanam can be valued as a pramanam, accepted and respected as a pramanam, only if it reveals something which cannot be known through any other pramanam. We say eyes are the pramanams, our seeing power chakshurindriyam is the pramanam, the seeing power obtaining in both eyes serves as a means of knowledge of the light, pramanam, knowledge of the object called light. Why? Because light cannot be what is revealed, what is arrived at, known through the seeing power, cannot be seen or known through any other pramanam. For the light, seeing power is the pramanam. For the sound, hearing power is the pramanam. Why we say hearing power? Shrotra indriyam is the pramanam. The hearing power obtaining in 2 ears is said to be the only the means of knowledge of the sound, because sound cannot be heard through any other pramanam. So pramanam can be said to be a pramanam. Only the given object cannot be known through any other pramanam. If sound can be heard, known through some other pramanam also, then we cannot say, the Shrotra Indriyam cannot have the status of being the Pramanam. The Pramanyam is not possible. So also Chakshur Indriyam cannot have the status of being the Pramanam for light, if light can be known through any other Pramanam also. Light can be known only through the eyes, only through the seeing power. Therefore, Chakshurindriyam is the Pramanam. Shrotrindriyam is Pramanam for this sound. Similarly, when you say Veda Shastram is the Pramanam, what can be known through Veda Shastram cannot be known through any other Pramanam. What can be known through Veda can be known only through Veda. It should reveal something what is already unknown, what cannot be known through any other pramanam. If something reveals what is already known, then it cannot be known as a pramanam. So Shankaracharya makes it very clear, is going to make it very clear. Dvaita jnanam, I am different from the world. The world is different from me. And therefore, the knower known duality is there. Division is there, difference is there. So I'm different from Ishwara. Jiva Ishwara Bedha, difference also is there. this difference being there between Jiva and Ishvara is already known. Being born a human being, being blessed with adequate knowledge for living this life as a human being, every individual human being already has this knowledge. I am Jiva, I the Jiva am different from Ishvara. I am different, I am the knower, different from the known world. There's a world which is an object of my knowledge. This knower known duality is already known. Jiva Ishvara Bhedaha, Jiva being different from Ishvara, is also already known. What is already known cannot, need not be taught. Therefore, Veda Shastram, even the Pura Bhaga of the Veda, does not teach what is already known. If it teaches what is already known, it cannot be taken as a pramanam. We take it as a pramanam because Veda teaches what cannot be known already through any other means. But this fact that I am different from Ishvara, I am different from the world, this dvaita jnanam, knowledge of duality, knowledge of difference between Ishvara and Jiva, is already there. This is already known. Duality is already known. Difference is already known. What is already known need not be taught, cannot be taught. For Veda does not teach dvaitam at all. Veda Shastram does not teach duality at all. Veda does not teach the difference being there between Jiva and Ishvara or any all difference. Veda does not teach. Veda accepts this difference, knowledge of difference and knowledge of duality being already there on the part of an individual, individual beings. Knowing the already existing knowledge of the human beings, Veda Shastram prescribes the karmas, prescribes the rituals, prescribes meditations, accepting the human accepting the perception of the human beings, accepting, knowing the knowledge of the human beings, the duality is already known, difference is already known. Shastram prescribes karma, which means Veda Shastram. Karma Upasana Kandas merely prescribe rituals. And they present the meditations. So Pura Bhaga of the Veda does not teach duality, does not teach the difference. It only restates. If Veda restates what, if Veda also states, accepts the duality, means it's called restating what is already known. So restating of what is already known, the statements of the karma upasana kandas, which restate what is already known. So I'll repeat the sentence. The statements of Pura Bhaga of the Veda, which restate what is already known to human being, is said to be Anuvada Vakyam. Even though entire Vedashastram is the Pramana Grantaha, Vedashastram also consists of some statements which restate what is already known to human beings. And such restatements, statements which restate what you already known, are said to be anuvada vakyani. Only the statements which reveal what is already known to us are said to be pramana vakyani. Statements which serve as means of knowledge of what is unknown are said to be pramana vakyani. Pramana vakyani kani, anuvada vakyani kani. I'll repeat again. Statements of Veda. If the statements of Veda in any context, in a given context, restate what is already known, they are said to be anuvada vakyani. Similarly, the same Veda Shastram presents some statements which reveal what is not known to us, and those statements are said to be pramana vakyani. And if there are statements which glorify the ritual, the statements in which we find glorification of ritual, glorification of the result of the ritual, glorification of the performer of a ritual, the glorification of the benefit enjoyable as a ritual, or glorification of heavenly life, etc. If these Vedic statements present the glorification of things associated with the karma or jnanam, such statements of glorification are said to be arthavada vakyani. So we have anuvada vakyani, we have pramana vakyani, and we also have arthavada vakyani in the Veda Shastram. So the three types of statements, arthavada vakyani, anuvada vakyani, arthavada vakyani, anuvada vakyani, pramana vakyani. Only this pramana vakyani serve as the means of attainment of knowledge. They reveal what is not known to us already. Anuvada vakyani restate what is already known to us. Arthavada vakyani always present the glorification of devatas, rituals, or performance of rituals, and the benefit of rituals, etc. So, Veda Shastram nowhere does it teach dvaitam. Nowhere does it teach dvaitam. Nowhere does it teach bhedaha. Veda Shastram towards the end reveals non-dual reality. It blesses us with a vision of non-duality of the reality. Towards the end, only in the Jnana Kandam, only in the Upanishads, the fact of the non-duality of the reality, the fact is revealed. And the reality of reality, the non-dual reality obtaining as one's own self is revealed. Thereby, the difference being not there at all is also revealed. Dvaitam is not taught by Veda Shastram. Difference is not taught by Veda Shastram. Of course, initially, in the karma upasana kandas, otherwise said to be Veda Purva Bhaga, duality, a perception of duality, perception of differences are accepted based on our acceptance. Rituals are prescribed because kartrutvam is naturally there, doership is naturally there on the part of every human being, enjoyership is there naturally on the part of every being, desires are naturally there, there's a pressure to fulfill the desire is naturally there. Therefore, the Shastram prescribes rituals accepting, knowing this perception of duality and difference. By way of presenting these rituals, accepting the duality, Veda Shastram helps us perform them for our own progress, for emotional maturity, to understand the limitations of artha kamas, thereby to grow out of desire for artha kamas, to discover dispassion. Veda Shastram prescribes the rituals in the karma upasana kandas. Just because Upanishad presents the rituals, prescribes rituals, presents the meditations, that does not mean Veda Shastram teaches Dvaitam. No, it does not teach Dvaitam, it does not reveal Dvaitam. Therefore, Dvaitam is not taught by Veda Shastram. Difference is not taught by Veda Shastram. Initially, it presents karma, accepting our erroneous perception to help us grow. So, growing means what? Becoming mature means what? Becoming adequately mature is important for becoming absolutely mature. Absolute maturity is possible only if you attain jnanam. Jnanam, in jnanam, there's absolute maturity. Now, to attain jnanam, to be absolutely mature, we need to become relatively mature. And with relative maturity is possible only if a person consciously lives a life of dharma, one has to do karma. So living dharma means implementing one's knowledge of dharma only when is possible only when a person lives his life of activities. In order to enable a person become emotionally adequately mature, relatively mature, Veda Shastram prescribes countless number of rituals and also some meditations in the Purva Bhaga of the Veda. The purpose is very clear. All the karma upasana kanda contents are meant for the relative emotional maturity in terms of antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam. Because only with this mental purity and mental steadiness, it is possible for one to become, to understand the teaching, to retain the teaching, to dwell upon the teaching, to assimilate the teaching, to enjoy the benefit of the teaching. For everything, you need mental preparation. One must have adequate, one must be mentally pure and steady. Being relatively mentally pure and steady is being relatively mature. So karma is prescribed only for mental preparation. There, dvaitam is not taught. Difference is not taught. Dvaitam is accepted. It is already known to the human beings. And the discipline is to help them become disciplined. All these rituals and meditations are prescribed. But what is not known at all is essential oneness. Non-duality of the reality is not at all known. Reality is one, secondless, non-dual. Absolutely what is only Brahma. Brahma Mukhate. What is this? Only Brahma. It's a mind-boggling fact, an amazing fact. Just because we do not understand, we do not know, does not become, false. It is a fact. Absolutely, the fact is what is there is only Brahma. All that is here is only Brahma. If you look at the same reality implied with the term Brahman as Ishvara, you can say all that is there is only Ishvara. There is a second thing which is not Ishvara, which is not Brahma. Nothing other than Brahma here. Means it's an amazing, most abstract, mind-boggling fact. Seeing the ocean, we can say all that is, there's only water. In spite of seeing the wave-ocean difference, in spite of experiencing the wave-ocean plurality of the waves, duality and divisions, still we can have a different standpoint of view, we can view it differently. We can say all that is, there is only water. Similarly here, Upanishads uniformly state this fact, all that is here is only Brahma. Sarvam kalvidam Brahma. All that is here is only the reality. This is second other than the reality. Is it a fact or not? It is a fact. But do we perceive this fact? No. Can this fact be understood through our perception? No. Is it possible for us to conceive this? No. Is it possible to describe this fact? No. Is it a fact? Yes, it is a fact. Is it possible to understand? It is possible to understand. Provided. If we use this means of knowledge called Vedanta Shastram. If Vedanta Shastram is used as a pramanam, it is operated properly. And if these Upanishad contents are unfolded by the teacher, then definitely this fact can be understood. All this, there is only Brahma. Discovering that fact, one can see how insignificant every individual being is. One can see another amazing fact of one's own self being non-separate from the truth. One can understand then non-duality of the reality being real, absolutely real. Oneness of the reality being absolutely real. Differences being not there. Differences are being not there can be understood. Therefore, Veda Shastram reveals this amazing fact which cannot be understood at all through any other pramana. The only Advaitam. It teaches the oneness of the reality. Dvaitam, it does not teach, it need not teach, it cannot teach because already known. Therefore, if Veda is accepted, Veda as a whole Shastra is accepted as the Pramanam also, we should know very clearly the purpose of the presentation of the subject matter of the Purva Bhaga, the Karma Upasana Khandas, the purpose is different. Purpose is for mental preparation. The purpose is nothing but mental preparation required for the attainment of jnanam. And the later part, where the Anta Shastram, consisting of Upanishads alone, serves as a means of knowledge of the fact that all that is there is only Brahma. To understand this fact, one has to see that Pramanam, it teaches only Advaita. It teaches the nature of reality. Therefore, Dvaita-Advaita-Vadaha is not correct. Dvaitam is not taught by the Shastra, Veda Shastra. So, Veda-Veda-Vadaha is not correct. Difference is not taught by the Veda, which is already known, being born as a human being. Therefore, Veda Veda Vadaha is not correct. This is what Upanishad is going to establish. Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary is going to negate, refute Dvaita Dvaita Vadis. Dvaita Dvaita Vadis, Veda Veda Vadis argument, his view, is going to refute it later on. But now, let us see what does this Dvaita Dvaitavadi say. Atha Atra Ke Chidahuhu, which I read yesterday. Sarva Karma Sanyasa Purvakat Atmajnana Nishtha Matra Deva Kevalat Kaivalyam Na Prapyate Yeva. And the question comes, oh, if Kaivalyam, Mokshaha, is not attained by mere knowledge, then how Moksha is attained? So he says, Agnihotradi, Shauta Smartha Karma Sahitat Jnanat Kaivalya Praptihi. He says, attainment of Kaivalyam is only through the attainment of Jnanam, along with the performance of Naimittika Karmas, Shauta Smartha Karmas, such as Agnihotram, etc. Which we saw this sentence also yesterday. Agnihotradi Shauta Smartha Karma Sahitat Jnanat Eva Kaivalya Praptihi Iti. And he says, Sarvasu Gitasu Nishchitaha Artaha. This, he says, Sarvasu Gitasu Nishchitaha Artaha. This has been stated. Gita, Sarvasu Gitasu Nishchitaha. He says, it is his perception, if he is understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasu Gitasu Nishchitaha. In all the verses, in many verses of Bhagavad Gita, this has been accepted. This has been firmly said that Kaivalya Praptihi Agnihotradi Shrauta Smartha Karma Sahitati Jnanati Yeva Kaivalya Praptihi. Attainment of Moksha is through the attainment of knowledge, along with, accompanied by, the performance of rituals prescribed in the Shruti, rituals prescribed by the Smriti, such as Agnihotram, etc. Who says this? Purvapakshi. And he has to give a quotation. He has to prove his statement. Jnapakam cha ahuhu. Asyarthasya jnapakam cha ahuhu. He also said the remainder of this statement, this is his view, that one must perform rituals throughout one's life. All smartha karmas, shauta karmas, agnihotram, one should perform throughout one's life until the last breath, along with the attainment of jnanam for one's moksha. So for which he presents a quotation. It's the right quotation with the wrong understanding. Look at this. Atha chetvamimam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi. Atha chetvamimam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi. Tata swadharmam kirtim cha hitva papam avapsyasi. This verse, okay, it's one verse. The 33rd verse of 2nd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he quotes. And very famous verse, first presenting the definition of Karma Yoga, he quotes. Karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phalahe turbhu ma te sangostva karmani. Kuru karmaiva tasmatvam ityadi. Ityadi means what? Then now I tell you, these are the few examples of verses from Bhagavad Gita. In all these verses, Bhagavan emphasizes one must do karma. Imam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi chet. If you do not do, if you will not do this fight of protecting dharma against adharma, then you will lose all your reputation. There, Bhagavan emphasizes swadharma anushtanam. Karmanyeva adhikarahate, you have only choice over actions. Means what? You have to perform karma. Kuru karmeva tasmatum, therefore Arjuna, you do karma. Kuru karma. Karma kuru. You do karma. He states few examples like this. Quoting statements in Bhagavad Gita, Pura Pakshi says what? Ityadi. So what? Bhagavad Gita states one must do karma. One must perform karma. Which means moksha cannot be attained as a result of mere knowledge. Attainment of knowledge alone is it not enough for moksha. It must be combined with performance of shauta karma, swartha karma, all rituals, all activities. Okay. Now he also states one more sentence. He says, Himsadi yuktatvat vaidikam karma adharmaya iti yam api ashanka na karya. Himsadi yuktatvat vaidikam karma adharmaya iti yam api ashanka na karya. So he also says, just to justify his view that both dvaitam and advaitam, both advaitam is real, advaitam is real, bedaha is dual, non-abedaha is also real, just to justify his statement, his view, he also says what? Even though vaidikam karma, even though this some Vedic rituals involve wounding, hurting, himsa, involve violence, Because animal sacrifice is there, because certain rituals involved animal sacrifice, even though there is himsa is involved, still there should not be doubt. Yam ashanka na karya. It should not, this doubt should not be there that performing those rituals involving animal sacrifice, involving himsa, will result in adharma, will become adharma. No, such doubt also need not be there. What does it mean? Anything Veda says, it is right. It must be performed. It is real. So he says, himsar yuktatvat vaidikam karma adharmaya. As some rituals involve himsa, hurting, because animal sacrifices are there, the Vedic ritual involving himsa, especially this in rituals involving animal sacrifice, should not be taken to be, mistaken to be some adharma. Iyam iti, iyam ashanka, iyam api ashanka na ka, such a doubt also should not be there. Katham kshatram karma yuddhalakshanam. How himsa, the hurting, wounding, causing pain, the violence, the violent action should not be taken to be a non-righteous action. If it is accepted in the Veda Shastra, in the form of animal sacrifice. Kshatram karma yuddha lakshanam. A duty of a kshatriya. Kshatram karma means a duty of a kshatriya. In the form of fight, in the form of battle, in the form of yuddham. Battle fought for protecting dharma. Again, protecting dharma against adharma is also na adharmaya, is also not for, doesn't become accumulation of papam, doesn't become adharma. Guru bhratru putradi himsa lakshanam atyantam kruram. Especially the battle which was to be fought by Arjuna definitely involved very cruel action, because it involved the killing of his own very close people. It involved the hurting of people, his own teachers, brothers, cousins, sons. Even though the battle fought for protecting dharma against adharma involved, it was very cruel action, involved the killing of his own people, like teachers, cousins and sons, etc., still na adharmaya, still it is not for, it doesn't become adharma. It doesn't become adharma. Why? Because a duty of a kshatriya. If a duty is not done, it becomes a pratyavaya papam. Tad akarane cha, in not doing what was to be done by Arjuna, in not doing what is to be done, tataha sudharmam kirtim cha hitva papam avapsasi. What will happen then? You losing your good reputation, all your fame, you will incur sin. Losing all your good reputation, your fame, and duty, you will incur sin. Iti bruvata yavad iti bruvata yavad jivadi shuti choditanam shuti choditani karmani. There are many rituals prescribed by the Veda Shastram, prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda, which involve Pashvadi Himsa Lakshanana. There are many rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda, in the form of rituals involving animal sacrifice, hurt, etc. also. Na adharmatvam iti sunischitam uktam bhavati prageva. Therefore, it has been already stated, there is no adharma. There is no adharma. Means what? It is not inappropriate. It is not a non-righteous thing. What is not a non-righteous thing? Performing rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda, involving the hurt, involving the killing of animal, okay? Animal sacrifice. Pashvadi Himsa Lakshanam. Rituals, performing rituals in the form of rituals involving animal sacrifice such as cow, etc. is not inappropriate, not adharma. It has been already said. So what does he want to say, this man, this person? It is not adharmaya. It doesn't become non-righteous action. Therefore what? Bhagavad Gita states one should perform one's duties. Veda Shastram prescribes karmas which involve animal sacrifice where himsa is involved. If Karma Kanda, if anything is prescribed in the Veda Shastram Karma Kanda, then doing what is accepted in the Karma Kanda of the Veda will not make one earn papam. It doesn't become adharma, it doesn't become non-righteous. Even if it involves animal sacrifice, even if it involves himsa, which is prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda Shastra, then it is doesn't become adharma. It is appropriate. Because you can perform the ritual. Therefore, Veda Shastra emphasizes performing rituals. Therefore, what the Veda says is correct. Therefore, one must perform yavat jivam. There are many statements in the Shruti. One should perform rituals. Yavat jivam, agnihotram juhyat. One should perform agnihotram until one's last breath. So whatever rituals have been encouraged, supported and prescribed by the Veda Shastram, one should perform. It will not be non-righteous thing, even if it involves himsa, hurt. Which means, mere attainment of knowledge is not enough for attainment of moksha. Along with attainment of jnanam, karma also should be performed. Rituals also must be performed. Therefore, knowledge must be combined with the performance of attainment of knowledge must be combined with the performance of rituals for the attainment of moksha. This is a completely misunderstood view of Yeka देशिनः वेदांतिनः. इज कंप्लीटली इनकरेक्ट. लेट अस सी नेक्स्ट क्लास. ओके, आई विल मेक थिंग्स वेरी क्लियर. इट माइट नॉट हैव बिकम वेरी क्लियर. डोंट वरी, प्लीज टेक इट ईजी. We will go slowly and steadily. We'll understand everything properly. Is it clear? Don't worry. We'll continue in the next class. It'll become clear in the next class. It's only a vada. So now, many of us must be having this question. If Veda Shastram prescribes rituals which involve hurt, killing of animals, etc., then if Veda are wrong, then Veda right or wrong? All our queries will be clarified, doubts will be clarified in the next class. Okay? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.